Oh, we're going to spend one more day, I think, maybe your hope, on 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, about the tempter tempting. Because I don't think we got it yet. Let's look at an apparent contradiction. I like contradictions. Go to Genesis 22.
Genesis 22.
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. So we're concentrating on the one phrase, God did tempt Abraham. This is when he offered Isaac. Now let's go to James chapter 1. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Contradiction. And yet in Genesis it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. One's Hebrew, one's Greek. The word in Hebrew, and God did tempt Abraham, is nasa. And it means to put to the test for the purposes of approving. The word in James has to do with tempting to do wrong, i.e., I am tempted by that, by Brittany. What?
I just find it funny.
What? Hmm? Why?
Just because.
So again, God in the New Testament, we are not tempted to do wrong. We will do wrong because of the fall. This is a biggie because you're always saying, well, the devil made me do it, or blah, blah, blah. So the whole idea is it's we are tempted when we are drawn away by our own lusts. Now, God can transform it, but we cannot say that, well, let's read what James says. Start in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, what does it mean to endure? It means you stay under without attempting to try to figure a way out. You got it?
You
to endure temptation. What does that mean? Let's talk about that. What do you think it means? Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life.
It's not to succumb to it.
But what is it? What if it means if you're in dire pain? That's right. What does it mean if you see double?
You give it to the bloody father. Next.
What does it mean if you're a wife?
To the father.
What it All right. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And so the idea of lust here just means you want something to change. You want something to be different than it is. Now this has, for some reason, because of several phone calls that I've had and everything, you've got to come to this place where you own who you are. That you cannot run around your whole life gadding around to change your ways, is what Jeremiah said. There has to be some point in which you own who you are. I'm old. I own it. I used to be skinnier than but I didn't own it. You got to own who you are. If you're in pain, own it. What, Gary? You're doing it now. You
skipped over the reward here a moment ago.
The crown of life.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think that means the peace, love, joy, all the things of the kingdom are your reward. It's not a hat you wear.
No, it's
His life.
Right.
Freedom.
Yeah, it's everything that your heart desires.
It's everything that exists on the mercy seat.
Yeah.
You're at the first source of all things.
And that's when I ask that question, do you want the crown of life? Do you care about that?
You can't until you run the rabbit. Again, you've heard me say this, but when I was in my 20s, people would come up to me and say, are you saved? I'd say, saved from what?
Who did you hang around with?
Huh?
Who did you hang around with?
Well, people come and knock on the door and everything like that.
I've never heard of that.
You ever been witnessed to?
I don't even know what that is.
Right. Well, everybody else does, so.
Or spiritual law.
Yeah. I had no interest in being saved because my only response was, saved from what? I thought I was fit. I thought I could do what I wanted. I thought that, but then what happened? I found out that I wasn't fit. The issues of the world are the survival of the fittest. You can't hear this stuff until you find out, wait a minute, I'm not too fit. I don't belong in this. But you tried desperately your whole life to belong. Even if you're in your rebellion, you try to belong because you find common points of rebellion with other people. So you belong to something. And this is why this whole mystery of God is to the poor, to the paktos, to those who haven't been able to complete, haven't been able to belong, haven't been able to, or if you did, maybe you're one of the fortunate few who did belong for a little bit, then you said, I don't want to belong to this. But someplace along this line, this mystery of God, you've got to end up owning that you're a screw-up, that you're a loser. And rest in it. Now, to me, that's the best news there is. Now what we're seeing in this modern Christianity is that Christians are champions and all Christians are healed. If you're not healed, you don't believe. If you're not rich, you're not in God's will, on and on and on. It's there's got to be a voice that stands up and says, this is crap. Well, that's one of the things we do. But if it's we, it can't be just some individual. It has to be we as a body. And you have to testify it and own it and be it in it wherever you are. You're not an unvaluable victim of the universe. You are sitting on top of the food chain. Now it's time for you to be who you are. There's no telling what will happen if you do that.
You can't make a mistake.
You can do nothing against the truth.
Now, I was looking at this thing we're reading, and it uses temptation and testing in the same thing. And what happens is, as long as it's all about me, it's a temptation. It's all because it's all about what it is that I want. That's what defines a temptation. And if you see through it, then it's like God is doing a test. Then you're able to endure. It's not about you. And it's a test unto approval.
Amen.
Always. Because otherwise, he wouldn't be wasting his time messing with it.
Don't you understand? You can't even hear this mystery of God until you are a broken vessel. Well, it's good news when you finally see it. If you've owned that you're broken and screwed up and a loser, that you were created to fail, which is hard to do. But if you own that, then it's the most incredible news there is. But if you don't own it, then you're going to always try to use the mystery of God to get what you want, because you will always be the subject of your sentence instead of this mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all about Him. It's nothing about you. We are simply the vessels. And if you can hear this, then God is in His. Let's go to Psalm 1. Thanks, John. It's right after the last part of Job. Psalm 2, I'm sorry. What?
I said the very second psalm.
The very second psalm. Is everybody at the very second psalm? There he is. Why do the heathen rage?
Are we at the second psalm?
We are.
And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." What does that mean? If we can understand that in each and every human being there's this divine spark, and the evidence of it is you can never tell about the mystery of God. The anointing you received, you have need that no man teach you. You can only have something witness to its truth. I knew when I was a teenager that everything was crap. What?
I didn't.
You didn't? Because you're just now going into your teenage years, spiritually.
Walk right into that.
You want to share anything else, Ronnie?
Yeah. You may want to go back to
college. Ronnie's the only... How old are you now?
42.
You're 50-something.
50, man.
So you're 50-something.
No, I'm 50. It's 50. 5-0.
Since Harry's death, Ronnie's the oldest teenager in the group.
still growing and increasing.
But my point was, when I sold out and said, "Wait a minute, I can be successful in this. I can do something." Then this, I set themselves against the Lord and against His anointing, saying, "Let us break the bands and cast away their cords from us."
But you're seeing. I mean, that's like you're seeing God as some kind of constraining, you know, bondage.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one of the main things we imagine.
What, Gary?
Number four cracks me up.
We're not there yet.
I know it.
Everybody stand down. Jesus. God.
There you go, reading ahead again. All right. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's a scripture. That was why I wanted. You just ruined the punchline. Let's go to Isaiah 28.
That's pretty good, though.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm glad you approved.
Yeah,
Isaiah 28.
The Lord shall have it in derision.
Isaiah 28.
He's staying there. He likes that, so he's staying there. You're there? You're not there yet. You're still turning a page.
I'm there now.
Verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Only them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's what we've done our whole life, and that's what we started to do as believers. It was line upon line. We learned and we added, and we were taught to do that, right? Line upon line, precept upon precept.
Bill Gaither.
Gothard. Gaither's another one. Gaither's a good one.
He's okay.
Okay, but then, listen. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. So they've been trying it line. We've been trying line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, line upon line, there a little, here a little. But God is saying, for with mocking lips and another tongue, speaking in tongues, charismania, but another language, another voice will he speak to you. But until then, he's mocking you. God can't mock. Well, we just saw he's mocking. He's holding him in derision. I can give you 100 examples where God, 1,000, where he's mocking everything about me.
Give us just a couple.
I'll give you a couple about you. Listen, for with stammering lips, mocking lips, and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord continued to be unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might, or until they go and fall backward and are broken and are snared and are taken. Now, I think a lot of you know a lot about this. You tried your best, line upon line, precept upon precept. All the time, God's mocking you. Until you go forward and fall backward and are broken and are snared and are taken. But
it's so funny that while you're in this scene, you're so sincere and very serious, and your heart's in the right place, and all. I mean, you're just giving it your all. You're learning about God. You're getting His precepts, and
It's all crap.
He doesn't care about your sincerity, which you mentioned in the past.
You remember what? Anybody remember what sincerity is?
Bring that up, folks.
The Mormons wrote a song called Line Upon Line.
It's a positive thing.
Want to hear it? Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Line upon line, precept on precept, that is how he lives. I can't sing it because it makes me laugh. If we are patient, we shall see how the pieces fit together in harmony. We'll know who we are in this big universe, and then we'll live with him forever.
But that's all true. Except they forgot the part that you go upon, you fall backward and are broken and are snared and taken.
Well, the whole song takes place in a dungeon.
Yeah. They didn't write that in
just
there.
Kidding.
Hmm?
They didn't write that in there.
All right. Then verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. If we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. What's the definition of religion? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, and everything else is crap.
That's not
it. Judgment also will, here, watch, if you don't think it is. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and water shall overflow the hiding place. And finally, your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my word, etc., etc. And some of you still are at the place where the word of the Lord is unto you line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But isn't it obvious to you that he's been mocking you?
Only that verse, I'm sorry, which one is it? It's 9? Line upon line, no, 10. Isn't he, in fact, making fun of this idea?
Line upon line?
Yes.
Sure.
I mean, do I understand the sense
that's
of this?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay.
That's what stammering lips mean. It's a mock, it's in Greek, I mean Hebrew, it's the word mock. He's mocking us. Can you see it? You've tried so hard to understand, you've tried your best, and it just doesn't work. Your bed is too short, and the covers are too thin, and nothing can hide.
That's the perfect metaphor for, you know, for being, you know, not at rest.
Yeah.
That idea that, you know, constantly you can never be comfortable in your life because everything is not like you want it to be or something.
And wham! All of a sudden, he apprehends you. And you say, my God, why have I fought against this my whole life? For the sake of this made-up identity called me. And you finally know and taste and live in that glorious liberty of the sons of God. You find out that there's nothing that can happen to you that's putting you for the purposes of disapproval, but everything is for the purposes of approving. You are the quartz, and he is the gold within you. Everything is being chipped away until only that gold remains. You can't do anything to speed the process, but boy, can you do a lot to slow it down, Gary. It's so obvious once you see it. The futility of every human effort and every human idea and every human invention. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. One added comment.
Yes.
Again, it was a visit to a church. I know it's a self-inflicted wound. I shouldn't do that. But
yes, you should. But when you're there, you should speak.
They get annoyed.
That's right.
I heard a pastor say 3 or 4 weeks ago, I couldn't find my notes, but it's there someplace, that what we fear is not so much death when we get older as anonymity. In other words, not being remembered. I think that goes exactly to the point that you're making, that this ambition that drives us throughout life is so vain and so worthless.
Yeah, it's how you define significance, you know. Significance to God is totally different from what I'm going to think of as being, I want to be significant, you know, in this life.
Will it be today? What can cause you to arise from your spiritual death? Shall love songs from the earth herself awaken my love, my fair one? Shall the smell of a flower turn your head to my love waiting to be received? Shall a cup of cold water stir the remembrance of the garden where we'd walked and talked together? What shall it be, for I shall try all things to reach you? Shall the falling leaves remind you of your fall from my presence? Shall the icy hand of winter pull you toward my warmth and understanding? Shall a display of my universe spectacular taunt your curiosity to wonder who I am? Tears of my rain pound at your heart. I'm standing as the only light within your cavern of death, waiting, waiting, waiting for the breaking of your pride that you might be set free and live. So simple. It's simply the death of you. Amen? What? Kayla.
Okay.
Yes, there is.
I'm talking to you.
You're not talking to me?
No.
No.
Anybody have anything else? I'll probably spend another day on this.
Good subject.
Take it, big guy.
Are you quoting something at the end?
First Tuesday.
No. That was
first Sunday.
Beautiful.
So you and Josiana warned Rick.
Huh?
You warned Rick.
That's a third.
No, where's John?
Yes, 8:30.
Y'all, what's up?
Carol, where's Carolyn?
She actually, she came to the
yeah, so she's making a move on you.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Oh, and